John chapter 1. Last week we went through verses 15 through 18. We're going to give a review to the three foundations that we talked about in those scripture verses, and then we're going to back up and begin and look at those four verses once again. And so it's we're going to stay in the 15th through 18th verse today. John chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and proclaim your precious word. Give us strength, physical strength, and give us your spiritual strength, that we may proclaim your precious word, that all may hear, that all will understand. We want, Father, that as we come together, whether it be for the Sunday school classes or for the church service, whether it be for the Bible studies through the week, we come proclaiming your word, that folks will hear, and not only hear, but listen and respond. And please, dear Lord, as we are your servants, we come to proclaim your precious word. But without your power and strength, we're helpless. Without your wisdom, we're helpless. Without your precious grace, we're helpless. Please, dear Lord, speak to our hearts today. Show us your way and will, and give us your power and strength. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So we looked last week in the next four verses. We talked about the three doctrines or three foundation stones that we have in these four verses. Just in a quick review, because it's very important that we recall and remember these. The first foundation stone is found in the 16th verse, and of his fullness have all we received. Now, when we look at that verse of Scripture, we find that what we have received is grace for grace, and we're going to spend much time today talking about that Scripture verse. But also, we read last week Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and then chapter 2, verse 3, and it tells us that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, my friend, in Christ, the Christian, the true believer in Christ, finds every need that we have supplied. Everyone is found in Christ. The second foundation stone is in the 17th verse. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. As we talked about, Moses was a faithful servant, but that's what he was a servant. He was not God. He just was a servant of God, and definitely had the power of God and brought the truths of God to us. But he is no different than you and me. We are servants of God himself. Please that we walk each time. Just like the law was holy and good and just, the problem was that the law could not justify the sinner. Couldn't do it. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law has no healing power. The law has no forgiving power. the law pronounces a curse, not a blessing. The third foundation stone found in these verses is the 18th verse. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus alone reveals to us God. And we need to follow our Lord Jesus. We need to know the Lord Jesus personally if we expect to know God the Father. Philip in John chapter 14 verse 9 asked a question, "He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Philip wanted to know. The Lord Jesus shows us the Father. That's the only way we can see him and know him. Now, let's come back to verse 15. That was the three foundation stones that are found in these verses of Scripture. But now we're going to go back and fellowship over these verses. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake." John bare witness of him. John spoke very clearly, very specifically, that he was to decrease and Jesus was to increase. If we would live our lives doing as John carried out, for us to decrease and for the Lord Jesus to increase, then you would see, people would see Jesus in you each and every day. We decrease, he increases. John tells us in the last part of verse 15, "He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Some say John spake, some say John cried. And both of those words are interchangeable. The Greek gives us the definition of this. It is one making a proclamation, a very loud cry. So John made it very clear that he was to decrease and Jesus to increase. The one that was cometh after me is preferred before me and is before me, the Scripture says. John had great spiritual wisdom from the Lord, a spiritual wisdom that you and I can possess, have, use, and he knew that Jesus was before him in existence and position and power. And the end of that verse says, "He was before me." Now on to the 16th verse. "Of his fullness have all we received." Whatever our need, this is such a wonderful statement here, because every one of us every day have trials and tribulations, whether it's physical, something, maybe an illness, an injury, maybe it's financial, maybe it's spiritual. But do you know and do you realize that whatever that need is, it is met by our Lord Jesus? Now, someone that does not know Jesus doesn't have the opportunity of this wisdom and power and strength. We need to pray for those. Our greatest need, even though we think so many times to be something physical or financial, our greatest need is a spiritual need, and Jesus is the only one that can meet that need. And he's truly the only one that can meet our needs, whatever they may be. So we need to call upon him. We need to seek his will and way. We need to understand that our needs are filled completely, fully. They are not given to us sparingly or just partially. Our God that saved us meets every need that we have. Now, why is it that we feel many times helpless, hopeless, worried, when we have a God that not only saved us, took all of our sin away, but also promises to meet every need? Everyone. When we go through a trial of some sort or another, look to Him, knowing He's going to deliver you. He is going to meet that need. It says needs now. Sometimes we get in a little trouble because we mix our needs and our wants up just a little bit. But just knowing that He meets every need, we need not to worry. The last half of this 16th verse is a tremendous, those four words, and grace for grace. Grace for grace. You hear the word grace, God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace will meet every need that you have. Grace for grace, the Scripture tells us here. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that it is a constant grace. It is a fresh grace every day. Yes, the grace of God saved us, but the grace of God keeps us and cares for us every day. Grace for grace. A new supply for every need, for every moment of every day. How long can we expect this grace of God to last? Forever. Forever. When we begin to be worried and frightful and threatened from something of the world, we need to call upon Him, because His grace is sufficient. Now, that word grace, as you look that word in the Greek, it means benefit, favor, gift, joy, pleasure. Now, what part of your life here something you're missing isn't covered under grace? Again, it's benefits He gives us. He shows us His favor. The gifts that He bestows upon us. The joy that He gives us. The pleasure of living for Him He gives us. Paul prayed for God to remove the thorn from his flesh. If God's grace is so strong, if His power is so strong, the mighty Apostle Paul surely could pray to God. You know, a lot of the healers of today say that if you have a sickness or someone that is sick, that if you pray enough, if your faith is strong enough, then they'll be healed. Or the problem will go away. God tells us here that no matter what the trial or tribulation, because even in the Apostle Paul, he did not take that thorn away. And the words that the Lord gave unto Paul was, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough for you. So whatever you're going through, whatever problem, whatever happens through the day, I just ask that you know that God knows what that problem is. And that problem will be taken care of. He will lead you to the answer. And sometimes the answer is that that problem exists for some reason. Why did God leave the thorn in the flesh? We don't know what it was. Some believe that it was his eyesight. Many speculate what it might have been. Why did he leave that? Because when Paul possessed that thorn in the flesh, it caused Paul to draw closer to the Lord. It caused Paul to depend upon the Lord in a greater way than he would have if he would have been as the church of Laodicea, as we are covering on the radio program on Sunday morning. We're just have almost closed up the church of Laodicea. They were rich, had need of nothing. That's what the church says today. And that's what most people say today. And if Paul had still had this thorn of the flesh taken away, it's possible that he would not have served the Lord in the degree that he did. That physical burden had to stay in order for Paul to depend upon the Lord. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to depend upon him each and every day. And we need to do just that. We need to depend upon him. Whatever calls God calls on us to do, whatever it is, don't ever be concerned that his grace will not be sufficient for you to take care of what he has called you to do. Whether it's a work someplace, maybe it's at work. We think always that it's connected with the church or responsibility there. God knows that we're out in the workplace, and God gives us abilities, and God even can train us to do things that he wants us to do so we can be where we need to be to share the gospel the way we should. And so please understand that his grace is sufficient. We will possess all the grace we need to live day by day by day. We will have not only the grace to live, but God gives us a special grace even to die. And we have that with Stephen when he was stoned. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. Just prior to that, in the last part of chapter 6 and the verses up to the 54th verse of chapter 7, we find that Stephen was given the grace to speak to the council of unbelieving Jews. And he spoke clearly. He spoke so clearly that it caused him to be stoned to death because they took him outside and stoned him. So you see, God gave him the grace to speak, and he also gave him the grace to die. His grace is sufficient, whether life or death. And when we look at the stoning of Stephen, and we see him in his last dying breaths, given the strength to look up into heaven, to see our Lord Jesus not sitting at the right hand, but standing at the right hand. That is not Stephen's strength. That is God's grace. God's grace, God's benefit, God's favor, God's gift, God's joy, God's pleasure. God's grace is sufficient through life or even through death. we see in the 17th verse now, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So the law was given by Moses. The law was perfect. And yet we find it to be very inferior when it comes to saving us. It couldn't save us. Law and grace are on actually opposite ends when it comes to our salvation. The old dispensation in contrast to the new, law and grace. By Moses came the moral law and the ceremonial law. And so there was two given at the time. The first had very high, very holy demands that must be kept, but could not be. The second, the ceremonial law, it was filled with sacrifices that they had to offer again and again and again, over and over, year after year. Because you see, it would cover their sin, but it did not take it away. At the very best, these things are just a shadow of good things to come. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Romans 10, verse 4. The law could not save. It could not do what the gospel of God's grace did. God's grace is sufficient. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The end of verse 17 tells us, by grace and truth, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ came full of grace, full of truth, declared God's plan of salvation by grace through faith. Salvation that offers complete, perfect pardon for every poor, hell-deserving sinner who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusts in His precious blood. God's grace. Christ was truth, because He was the true sacrifice, the true priest, the true atonement for our sin, something the law could not do. Today, the devil tries to trick people in thinking that they can do it by works or by keeping the law. They can't. Only coming by faith to Jesus. He was the truth that sets men free. Let's turn just a couple of pages to chapter 8 of John. Chapter 8, verse 32. These are verses of Scripture that we've read very recently. Scripture verses worthy of repeating. John chapter 8, verse 32. "Ye shall know the truth shall make you free." And then move to the 36th verse. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The law of Moses could not save the soul. The law commanded men to live a perfect life, but they couldn't. The law was a shadow of things to come, and it made the way for the appearing of Him who kept every part, every facet of the law. Our great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, brought grace and truth and healing to this sin-sick world. What a gift, what an opportunity. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it, and He did fulfill it in every way. Now, all true believers are perfect law keepers. but only through the precious blood of Christ. What we have, what we enjoy, what we possess in the Lord Jesus. The law commands and demands. The law required, but grace of God gives. The law exposed and condemns sin. The grace of God takes away sin and pardons the sinner. The law contains truth, but Jesus is truth and grace. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. The fullness of grace and truth could only be in Christ. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, the scripture says. Jesus stands for grace, and he was God's grace wrapped in the flesh. Grace. I think we're going to wait and start with the 18th verse. No man has seen God at any time. We'll begin there next week. None of your Old Testament saints, Joshua or David or Moses or Abraham or Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, none of them has ever seen God the Father. Only through the Son, the Lord Jesus. You know, when we look to the Word of God and see His promises, experience His grace, please. Sometimes we feel very helpless, hopeless. Seems as things are so out of control and there's nothing I can do about it. Our God at that time wants us to depend on Him. Pray to Him. Fellowship with Him. Spend time in His precious Word. He picks us up. He carries us. His word is true from cover to cover, and when He says, "My grace is sufficient," believe it. Believe it. The devil's the one that brings in worry and fret. God's grace is sufficient. Please depend on it today. But you've got to know Jesus to do that. Without knowing Him as your Savior, you have no hope. Folks that go through trial and tribulation, many times we try to help them. We can't help them. Without taking them to the cross of Calvary, showing Jesus to them. That's what we're to be doing. We're not to be psychologists and psychiatrists. We're to be deliverers of the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There's the answer. There's the one that has the power and the grace that can take care of it. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You today that we have Your grace. So often we hold on to our own power and our own strength, and that brings worry and fret. Please, dear Lord, You have saved us, and You're going to deliver us home. So please, we look to You, we depend upon You, we trust You. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now today. Those that do not know You as their Savior, they have no opportunity of this peace and this joy and this power and this strength, because it starts at the cross of Calvary. So please, dear Lord, don't let anyone leave here today without knowing You as their Savior. And Father, those that are here that are saved, Help us, dear Lord, to depend upon you and know without a question your grace is sufficient. Thank you for your precious word today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.